top headlines.
All right, they're in the top of the ninth over at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox with an 8-3 lead on the Blue Jays right now. Andrew Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, home runs in this game. David Price going five innings, giving up four hits, two earned runs. He walked four while striking out four. Elsewhere in the AL East today, Nationals top the Orioles 6-0 in the final. Yankees trail the Astros 5-1 in the eighth, and in just a couple of minutes, it's going to be the Rays versus the A's. Chris Archer gets the start for Tampa Bay in that one. NBA, Celtics falling in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals last night to LeBron James and the Cavs, 87-79. Kyrie Irving, by the way, not in attendance for that game due to deviated septum surgery. Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals is tonight between the Rockets and the Warriors. Andre Iguodala not going to play in that game again for Golden State. Tip-off is at 9. In the NFL, interesting comments from former Patriots linebacker Cassius Marsh on his time with the Pats. Marsh saying that they don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. I didn't enjoy any of my time there.
We didn't enjoy you either. You sucked.
He was awful.
Horrible.
Awful. And game one of the Stanley Cup final between Washington and Las Vegas is tonight. Faceoff is at 8. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. JacksonLumber.com. I'm Tim McCone, Boston Soul for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Boston, the greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron James escapes to the front court, and the Celtics will not foul. 10 years ago, LeBron James lost a Game 7 on this floor. Was there going to be anything left for him to redeem? He'll get a Game 7 in Boston, become the first to lead a team from 2-0 down against the Boston Celtics to win a series. And LeBron James embraces Al Horford at half court. So much respect. A Boston Celtics season that took turns we could not possibly have imagined. Takes them all the way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But the King was not ready to be dethroned. The final score in Game 7, Cleveland 87, Boston 79. The Cavaliers defend their Eastern Conference title.
All right, we ask you, should the Celtics have won that game? Did they choke? Did they choke? Or do you fall into the trap? And I'm sort of giving away how I feel. You fall in that trap of looking big picture and saying, ah, well, you know, it's great that they were where they got. You know, that they were. That they went farther than we had right to expect them to get to. I never expected them to be in that position in the first place. They overachieved. They were playing with house money. If you look at it like that, it's sort of easy then to ignore what happened last night. And what happened last night is the Celtics were in complete control of a Cleveland team that was not playing great, had a huge lead in the first half, had control into the second, and couldn't put the ball in the ocean and tightened up so badly offensively that they ended up with 79 freaking points. They choked, my opinion. McCone, what do you think?
I thought they got tight last night, but you're talking about a group that won.
Are you parsing words on me?
Yes.
Did they choke last night?
No, they did not.
We have fallen into the trap. That's what we've done. You and I have fallen into the trap. You are not in the trap. We're in the trap.
They went farther than we had a right to expect. Oh, the future's bright. Next year's really the year.
Is any of that untrue, though?
No, but that doesn't have anything to do with last night.
This is a team that won one playoff game on this run that they've had in the playoffs so far. And that means that it's a young, inexperienced team that's not used to tough situations. And last night, a Game 7 with a trip to the finals on the line is a tough situation. You kind of expect that. Yeah, they got tight, but that's what's expected from a young group. So they didn't.
This
choke.
Is my point. That is who they are. That team you saw last night is who they are, right? You've got an imperfect leader in Al Horford, who is inconsistent even though he's a max player. You've got a rookie who we all think has great things ahead of him, a sophomore year player who probably isn't as good as Jason Tatum, but still will improve. and then a bunch of bit guys who don't have any business being in the starting lineup of a team that is playing
12.
For a chance at the finals. That's
they
fine.
Were up 12
but they were
nine
up 12
minutes left in
with
the second
a cast
quarter.
Who had no business getting
Wait,
them there.
Is a cast capable of scoring more than three buckets the rest of the way in the second quarter when they're up 12?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay,
but
so
maybe
they
not.
Underperformed.
But maybe not.
Maybe
this
not.
Is
really?
Why this is why they are who they are.
Oh my God. Come on.
Would you ever build a team around Terry Rozier as a scoring threat?
Hell no, but is he better than 0 for 10? Yep, he's better than 0 for 10, which is what he shot from behind the line. Why did he shoot 0 for 10 from behind the line? Because he gagged.
Because he's a backup point guard.
Thank God I've got the diabolical prick Mason Souza behind the line. This guy.
He needed to sell some shirts. That was on his
mind. Yes, and then Terry Rozier is asked what he learned this playoffs. He said, other than selling some shirts, that's great. That's good. Meanwhile, Marcus Smart there is looking for, you know, looking for Steph Curry money with his 10-point-a-game average. But aside from those, thank God I have Mason Souza back there, the negative prick. His email. I like his emails. Can you tell Mason Souza works with Adam Jones, the Dark Knight? Because these two, peas in a pod. Mason says, well, that sucked. 34% shooting equals choke. What an absolute choke job, writes Mason Souza. All caps in bold. Worst shooting percentage of the entire playoff run for the Celtics. This wasn't Big Bad Quicken Loans Arena either. This was home. No scary fans with their yellow towels. And you let Jeff effing Green beat you in your own house. There was Aaron bleeping Boone, and now there's Jeff mother bleeping Green. First ever series loss being up 2-0 in Celtics history. Choke, all caps. Absolute choke, no question. Jaylen Brown, 5 for 18. Terry Rozier, 2 for 14. Hashtag winning plays Marcus Smart, 1 for 10. That's a big thing on the Jones Show, huh? Hashtag winning plays. I sort of buy into the winning plays. I do. I just, when he's not making, why do you keep shooting? That's the thing.
Can we stop, by the way, with this being up two games none in Celtics history? As though what Bill Russell did has any bearing whatsoever on what this team
can do. I'm just reading the email.
Well, no, I understand, but how many times did you hear? How many times in the last week did you hear, no Celtics team has ever lost being up 2-0?
Don't look at me.
Okay,
I'm not talking about that.
That is a ridiculous statistic when any historical in the history of the franchise.
Talk to Mason.
Okay, well, great. Bill Russell never lost being up 2-0. That matters a heck of a lot to Terry Rozier and that gang last night. Larry Bird never lost being up 2-0. Ooh, that really has nothing to do whatsoever. It's laundry. They're not even playing in the same building.
You put on a Celtics jersey, you're a part of it. You're a part of that history, and you ruined it. Choked it.
Good job, Mason. You ruined it.
Yeah.
They ruined the Celtics' legacy last night. 30 points, writes Mason, in the second and third quarters. Combined, yuck. You gifted LeBron another finals appearance. Disgraceful. Great season, but what a pathetic showing. 79 points at home. LOL. They scored less than 79 times. Oh, wow. Great one, Mason. They scored less than 79 points only one time this year. Whoa. They scored less than 79 only once this year. Choke. That was a choke. It was like the Patriots defense in the damn Super Bowl. Ha! The only silver lining, Tatum will be league MVP in 5 years. That guy is good. Yes, he is, Mason. I don't know why you threw something positive there at the end. So
you ruined the
whole mojo of it.
99% negative print.
But, you know, I mean, others have written about this, and I just think when you look at the way they shot and the nature of the shots really speaks to it. Again, they were one for their last 12. And Jason Tatum only got one of those shots, which, again, is coaching, management, something in there, which is choky. The game got sped up, and they got panicky, which I think was clear. Just launch. It was a launch party. And then, you know, I've talked about the building got tight. Brian Robb in the Boston Sports Journal also wrote this. The tension was palpable around TD Garden as the misses started to pile up and a 12-point lead started to dissipate. The Celtics would have been, or should have been, up by 20 at halftime with the way the Cavs were shooting. Instead, the edge was just 4. When things tightened up late, the Celtics got even more reliant on the deep ball despite their struggles. 6 of Boston's 8 field goal attempts in the Cavs' game-ending 13-2 run in the fourth quarter came from 3-point range. They missed all of them. 6 of 8 attempts in that 13-2 run were from 3, and they went 0-4. They missed all of them. The pressure built, and no one was able to handle it outside of Tatum. Stevens even said, when we got more tense and tight shooting the ball after we missed some of the open ones, I thought you could feel them a little bit more. Even Stevens acknowledged they got tight, they got choky. Choky, that's a word.
In the
chokish,
choke like. It wasn't chokish, chokey. That was a choke. That was a gag. And if you want to tell me that that's what young and experienced teams do, fine. And that's I'm not necessarily an excuse. You're saying that's just the nature of those kind of teams in that spot. I don't know if I'll argue with you, but just don't tell me it wasn't. They didn't get tight. Oh, did they get tight? Here's from The Athletic. Some advanced numbers for you, McComb, which I know you like. They write that for all their strategic prowess and ability to withstand the constant blows from LeBron, the Celtics simply missed easy shots that were there when they needed them most. The C's had a 38.2% EFG percentage, effective field goal percentage.
Yeah, and the EFG percentage, McCone.
You guys are all giving me a look like you don't know what this means.
I've never heard of
this.
This
is why
EFG
we have
percentage.
You kids. I don't know about you, but the rest of you, you're young hoop nerds. I thought you were supposed to know this. Mason, no? You work with Jones. He doesn't shove EFG down your gullet every night?
EKG? What was that?
E, lowercase E, uppercase FG.
Yeah, your effective field goal
has
percentage.
Has to be effective field goal percentage. Yep. Even I know what that is. I don't know. I can't define it for you. I can know what it stands for. They're 38.2 EFG. They're 38.2 effective field goal percentage. Their worst performance this postseason by 5 percentage points and worst shooting performance since Game 2 of the Atlanta Hawks series 2 years ago. So their effective field goal percentage, whatever the F that is, was their worst of this postseason by 5 points and their worst since Game 2 against Atlanta 2 years ago. The Athletic says that the Celtics shot 2-for-3 on open three-pointers in the first quarter, then shot 1-for-12 on open threes the rest of the game.
Ugh.
1-for-12 on open threes. Hook.
Not pretty.
You know what that's called?
Choking.
That is a gag. That's gagging. Because this is, I've been saying this all day too. The Cavaliers suck on defense, and they still suck on defense. It's not like, you know, the looks were there. 1-for-12 on open threes.
There was one. I mean, the game was already decided. It was over. But at the very, very end, and I don't even remember which player it was. It might have been Morris, where he actually set and then adjusted his feet and set again. And there was nobody because the game was over. Nobody challenging him. He still missed it. Not even close.
They got it. Just it all.
Like here it is. Nope. I'm going to adjust a little bit over here. Going to set again. Yeah, miss.
So by this point, it was too late, but I thought there were times there where Stevens could have slowed the game down for these guys because it sped up on them, and they just sort of lost it. Again, 1-for-12 on open threes after that first quarter. They went 0-for-4 on open threes in the final 5 minutes as Boston started to abandon their offensive sets. They missed all 11 of their three-point attempts from the elbows, which is the spots where most of their looks come from in the flow of their motion offense. They were there. The looks were there. They couldn't hit them because they choked, because they gagged. And the one that stands out to me the most is Al Horford, 3:20 left, down 3 points, wide open at that elbow. That's his shot, McCone. He's money from there. He can take that every time as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, the one guy that I would agree with choked is Al Horford. I mean, these other guys are young, inexperienced guys. Al Horford's a guy making max money. He's supposed to be the guy for you, and he didn't show up down the stretch last night. And he certainly didn't show up in Game 6 of this series either, which I think you can really get on him.
Oh, for. His Game 6 was deplorable. So Horford finishes, or he follows up the game six. We had one field goal, I think.
6 points, yeah.
I think he had one bucket from the floor. So game six was a complete no-show, where he scores 17, so it looks okay, except 14 came in the first half. He scored 8 in the first quarter, 6 in the second quarter. So he had 14 in the first half. Third quarter, 0-for-2, -9. Fourth quarter, 1-for-3, 3 points, -5, and missed that huge three with 3:20 left, down 3, which was really... They never got closer the rest of the way. I thought the last big miss, significant miss for the Celtics. So Horford in the second half of this game, 1-for-5, 3 points, -14. He got choky too, and he shouldn't. You're right, McCone. That's one guy who's been there and has been around and shouldn't.
Particularly because he was so good in the first quarter.
Exactly.
He was so good.
Okay, so there it is. Should the Celtics have won that ball game last night? To you, right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
He's unbelievable, and I think we've played now till May 25th and May 27th the last 2 years, and we started on September 25th, and that's every day, like every day, that you're totally focused on this, and he's gone past that 8 straight times. It's ridiculous, and does it at this level and with the pressure, with the scrutiny, doesn't matter. It's just unbelievable.
That says Brad Stevens on LeBron James. Who wins, and that's a big one for him. It's another one. It's another big one for him. It's the ones I'll remember. Like, some people are saying that was his greatest accomplishment. Like, to me, that's nuts.
I think beating Golden State probably ranks a little bit higher.
Thank you.
That.
And I don't care, even though he was surrounded by a great cast then. You're down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. And two of the three are on the road. And you come back and win that series? That doesn't happen in that league hardly ever. Hardly. I don't care what you're surrounded by. So that, to me, is the defining moment for LeBron James. But the game here, Game 6, 2012, is on the list. And I think last night's somewhere on there. I mean, it's on the list. It's below those others. But it's on there. And but unfortunately, and I don't want to be unfair, I don't think it was about him last night. It was about you. It's about you not being able to hit your shots or slow the game down when it mattered in the second half. You just had a normal shooting night. If you were just below average shooting, you win the game. Never mind wretched. If you were just below average shooting, you win that game. Instead, you couldn't put in the ocean and you kept launching them, and no one seemed to stop it. And so, I really, is it unfair to say you lost it versus LeBron won it? Is that unfair, Mason, to say you lost it?
Not at all. That's a fair statement.
Yeah, so you and Jones would be proud of that take. I don't know. You tell me, people. Is that unfair to say that the Celtics lost it versus LeBron winning it? Adrian in Hudson. Go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
They totally lost it. They handed the game to him, and I blame Stevens for the whole thing. And I love Stevens. I think he's a great young coach. But, all you know, one of the ideas that I was thinking while I was sitting here is they've got Tristan Thompson all over Horford. Maybe put in Monroe. Like, what happened to him? He's a low-post guy. He knows how to score in the low-post. Give it a break in the second half. Start him in the third quarter. Get rid of Baines, who is completely useless.
So, Adrian? Let me just stop you, and thank you for the call, dear. I appreciate it. But this is where I'm not blaming Stevens for playing Baines over Monroe. You're talking about one bag of crap over the next, and it's not... That's not the issue. He only had seven guys to play. So I don't care about who was on the floor.
Relative bags of crap, Aaron Baines is definitely better than Greg Monroe.
Yes, and I don't mean to be that's disrespectful, but that's not the issue, that he didn't play Greg Monroe or that he didn't play any of these guys, Abdel Nader or Ojale. That's not the issue was shot selection and the team tightening up. And could Stevens have done something to affect that shot selection? Could he have slowed the game down for him? Could he have called more sets? Could he have made sure that Tatum was more involved? Could he have made sure that they were going inside more? I'm also not going to blame Stevens for the fact that Al Horford gets beat by Tristan Thompson. Al Horford's a max guy. He shouldn't be getting dominated or beaten by Tristan Thompson. Al Horford should be expected to win that matchup. I'm sorry.
I know you're a guy who ultimately only cares about the win, so this little statistic I'm about to give you probably won't bother you too much. But Jason Tatum in this postseason scored 351 points. Which is really good for a rookie. In fact, had he scored one more field goal, two more points, he would have set the all-time record for points by a rookie in a postseason history, beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, it looks like a special kid. And you saw it last night. The moment wasn't too big for him.
So only getting one of those last 12 shots. If he gets one more of those, he sets this record.
So that's one I think you look at Stevens. You know, they go one for their last 12, the Celtics, one for their last 12, but Tatum only got one attempt in those 12. So that's where I would look and say, could something have been done there? Max in the truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Memorial Day. I got two quick points. Give me a minute, Michael. And my first point, if I hear another person say the NBA is rigged, I'm going to lose my mind. The NBA is not rigged. The Celtics could not hit a bucket last night to save their life. And they should have got the ball to Jason Tatum. What is Rozier chucking up threes for? I don't understand it. Some of those shots were so ugly. They didn't even come close to hitting the rim. And Marcus Smart wanting $12 to $14 million? See you later, bud. You're not worth freaking that type of money. Happy Memorial Day, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, good job. 40 seconds. Excellent. If you ended the pleasantries, you would have done it in under 40. The NBA is not rigged. The NBA is a little rigged. It's a little rigged. Last night was not rigged.
No.
And but I'm so thrilled we're not bitching about the officiating.
LeBron James had four fouls.
And the Cavaliers were put into the bonus with 7:20 left in the fourth quarter. So, look, I thought Tatum got screwed a little bit by the refs. Tatum had some touch fouls there in the fourth quarter that were ridiculous. I thought, you know, the now infamous LeBron James block on Terry Rozier, boy, he got a lot of hand. Somebody slammed him in the wrist. So I thought I'd hear more ref bitching today. I'm surprised and, you know, relieved that I haven't, because I don't think the refs I don't think last night was rigged. Some games I think are a little rigged. Riggy. Gets a little riggy in that league.
We've got choky. We've got riggy. We've got a lot
it's
of different things
not
going on here.
Not flat out rigged, but managed. You know, I think,
the game four against Philadelphia, I think, was as close as you can come to rigged.
Right. So I think the NBA will extend series to get inventory. I think you see that, and they'll manage it and schedule refs accordingly. Once you get to a game seven like last night, I don't feel it. Like, I don't feel like – I know everyone thinks that the league needs LeBron in the finals. At this stage, I don't think they do.
No.
I think the Celtics would have been a good draw, and I don't think – so, heck, even though there were questionable calls both ways, questionable calls against you, LeBron had four – and was teetering in foul trouble there in the fourth quarter. And they put you into the bonus with 7:20 left in the fourth quarter. 7:20, you're in the bonus. And you only got to the line twice more. And that wasn't the ref's fault. It's hard to get to the line when you're just launching from 27 feet.
And by the way, how did they do when they got to the line anyway?
And
their free throw shooting was no good either.
They were not good at the line. What were they as a team? They were not good. 18 of 25, 72%. I mean, that's okay, I guess. But... oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Cleveland.
Yeah.
They were 14 of 19, which is 73%, which is good, but I don't know. Felt like they had a lot of key misses in there, didn't it?
It does.
I certainly know they couldn't shoot from the field. James in Pennsylvania, you're up next. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How are you doing today? Good. Happy Memorial Day.
You too.
Quick thing, right? So Stevens, all year long, is telling these guys to be aggressive, shoot, play their games, and it brought them all the way to this point. Now, I totally agree with you guys down the stretch. I thought it was ridiculous that Tatum didn't get a look and there was nothing called for him. However, is he bit by his own hand in that situation where he's told these guys to play, to shoot, play aggressive, you know, and when they come into the huddle, how at that point do you tell them, okay, guys, you know, let's stop doing that? And again, I think that the future's bright for these guys, but in that moment, this was a growing experience. Would he have been more hurt by telling them, hey guys, let's change what got us here? Or
no.
You know,
James, look, I see your overall point.
You know
point.
Where I'm going. I know exactly
where you're going. That he encourages Marcus Smart, for as wretched as he is from the field, to shoot and to launch. And he doesn't get in the way a lot of Marcus Moore, you know, like, so it is an aggressive approach. They want you shooting threes, and so that definitely came back to bite them. However, if he had called timeout and changed it up, that would not have been out of keeping either, because he did it against Philadelphia, right? I mean, when Brad Stevens sees that Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart is going to, you know, just they can't be stopped, Stevens will stop them himself.
And I think he made a legitimate effort to try to get Jason Tatum involved early on in this game, in the first quarter especially. I think they went to him four or five times right off the bat to try to get him more involved after he really didn't in game six, too. So you go back to that stuff towards the end of the game. And to your point, too, at some point, you got to take the ball out of Marcus Smart's hands or Marcus Morris's hands down the stretch there.
Yeah, and so
the fact that he didn't almost indicates to me that those guys just weren't having it. Like, do you think he told Terry Rozier, I'm putting you back in the game, go ahead and launch some more threes?
Yes. Because I think that's the overall team approach. Yeah, I do. I mean, to me, it goes unsaid. I think that their philosophy has always been, if it's there, you take it. Ugh. And we'd rather you shoot from here than there. Meaning, if you back up two steps, that's where we want you shooting it. And so, by the way, this isn't a Celtics thing. I feel like the whole league has gotten goofy with this, McCall.
100%, yeah.
It's just gotten way... It's the when I watch the Western games, like the end of that Golden State-Houston game in Game 5, where Houston won, and Golden State is just... The play that I remember where Chris Paul got hurt and is lying on the floor. And Golden State has a 5-on-4 advantage because the refs aren't blowing it dead. They're letting it play. And the Golden State's only down 1 point. They let this kid shoot a three because that's their philosophy,
Cook.
Right?
Threes and layups. That's it. Threes and layups.
Like, can you slow it down and post somebody and get a better look at the rim? And I think the whole league has gotten goofy like that, and including you. And, I mean, there's just no excuse for you to go one for your last 12 last night with the game slipping away and Tatum only gets one shot. That's just not good game management. Here is an update from McCone, and we're back to your calls.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Red Sox beat the Blue Jays this afternoon 8-3. J.D. Martinez, home run number 17 on the season. Andrew Benintendi hitting his seventh of the year. David Price picking up the win, going five innings, giving up four hits, to earn runs. Mookie Betts, by the way, not in the lineup for the second straight game, dealing with tightness in his left side. Elsewhere in the AL East today, Yankees fell to the Astros 5-1. Nationals beat the Orioles 6-0. And right now, Rays and A's are scoreless in the second. Chris Archer on the mound for Tampa Bay. In the NBA, as you just heard, Celtics, of course, falling in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night to the Cavs, 87-79. Kyrie Irving, by the way, not spotted during that game. That's because he was dealing with a deviated septum surgery.
How do we feel about that?
What does that mean, deviated?
Did he get a nose job?
I think he got a nose job, and he didn't want people to see getting a nose job.
Can't you put that off for like a little bit, too?
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary, like right before
a couple
Game
weeks.
7. Yeah,
or was his nose broken?
I don't know.
Did someone break his nose?
Maybe he choked. Maybe he didn't want to be there with LeBron going on to another finals.
I'm just saying, that is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals is tonight between the Rockets and the Warriors. Tip-off is at 9. Andre Iguodala not going to play in that game for Golden State. And Game 1, Stanley Cup Final between Washington and Las Vegas is tonight. Face-off is at 8. Sports Up Headlines brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital, number one research hospital in America, revolutionizing care. I'm Tim McConan, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Up, your next update, 30 minutes.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You have two men over there at the table who've been around this league a long time, and they just said at the end of this ball game that this is your greatest achievement, getting this group to the finals. Would you concur, or what's your interpretation?
A lot is going through my mind right now, Doris. I guess we've been counting out for a long time this season, and you know, right around the trade deadline, no matter if we made a trade or not at that point in time, I kind of just switched my mindset on saying let's get the most out of this season I can, and I'm determined to get the most. I'm trying to squeeze this orange so there's no more juice left, and this is a heck of an accomplishment for our ball club. You know, without our all-star power forward as well for basically two games, this team was undefeated in the postseason and for, at home, and for us to do this and for me to be able to lead these guys, it's a treat.
I feel like we've been smoking something.
Yeah, the intro's too long, Mason, but I appreciate the effort. It's a holiday. What the hell?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Let it roll.
I made you listen to LeBron. So people are saying that's his greatest performance ever, greatest accomplishment ever? I don't know. I don't watch enough to tell you. Was that the great? Was that better than this or that better than that? I don't know. I was really impressed with it, though. I know, master the obvious kind of statement. But I'll say, like, I do think some of, like, these epic performances get overrated because they're not efficient, you know? Carmelo Anthony scores 45 points. Yeah, well, he shot it 50 times. And did he set anybody up? And, you know, like, I think LeBron shot well, which is what I was impressed with. Last night, he was 50%. It was 12 of 24 from the field, I think. You know, which is good efficiency. He was 3 of 8 from the three-point line, which is 38%, just about. In the previous game, where he scored 46 points, he was 17 of 33, over 50%. Like, that's pretty good, McCone, right? It's not like... I think he's... and he was 5 of 7 from the three-point line in that game 6.
Kobe was the king of that, by the way.
Right.
Just putting up monster numbers, but being so wildly inefficient. And LeBron was ridiculous last night.
I feel like I found LeBron to be efficient in these games, where there wasn't just a lot of wasted chucking. And then there's also, you know, how he set everybody up. Going to ESPN Stats and Info, LeBron James in Game 7 created 21 field goal attempts off his passes, easily the most in the game. He created a game-high 13 open field goal attempts. Now, I don't know what the numbers of the ones that they hit, but it felt like the Cavs only hit like three of them. You know, they hit just enough, but they certainly didn't hit a preponderance of them. But again, that just stands out to me how open the Celtics left Jeff Green sometimes. or J.R. Smith. Like, if you want these bums to shoot, go ahead, LeBron. Give it to them. We'll let them shoot. And they did, and they missed them mostly. Green and Jeff Green and J.R. Smith combined for 17 three-point attempts last night. Hit only five of them. So anyway, he created a game-high 13 open field goal attempts. He also defended a game-high 19 field goal attempts. And the Celtics went only 6 of 19 when he was the primary defender. So it was just that completeness and the efficiency of it that was just so damn impressive. And also, do you know what we were talking now, Felgram, as were last Thursday, whatever day it was, with that fake fatigue nonsense? You were being set up. Everyone was being set up. The media was being set up. You were being set up. All of a sudden, LeBron's tired. All of a sudden, he can't get up and down the floor. All of a sudden, he's grabbing his shorts 5 minutes into a game at the free throw line. Why? Why? Because he wanted you to see it. And he was setting up his heroics in game six. And then last night was just on its own. Like, I don't feel there was much fake NBA drama there. That was just got to have it game seven. He played all 48 minutes.
Oh, but the fatigue. He did so much running.
Never came off the floor. I feel like he gets his rest in game sometime. I felt there was times in the second quarter where he really just sort of laid back. But either way, not coming off the floor is not coming off the floor. It's pretty damn amazing. So after all that fatigue in game five, like it's finally catching up to him, he played almost 47 minutes in game six and 48 minutes last night. You were being set up. That was obvious from the start.
And all of this goes into why I'm not calling it a choke job. Because LeBron did LeBron things. And when LeBron does LeBron things, like play 48 minutes, move the ball around, or shoot it himself, you know what? He's going to beat you, particularly when your team is made up the way this Celtics team is right now, which is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be without Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and it's not supposed to be led by Al Horford and some young guys.
It's not supposed to be led by Al Horford. He's a max player.
I get that, but you and I both know that he's not the player. He was never designed to be the player. He was originally signed with the idea that Kevin Durant would follow.
So hold on.
And then after they didn't get Kevin Durant, well, then they went and got Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
I agree with you. He's a role player. Can you expect more of 1 for 5 in the second half?
I'm not saying he didn't do
that. 1 for 5 in the second half for 3 points minus 14. I'm not allowed to expect more from that.
You can expect more from any number of different players. But ultimately, to me, this was more about that guy being that guy, LeBron being LeBron, than it was about the Celtics underperforming.
Game six, you have a case.
What they really are.
Game six, you have a case where LeBron goes for 46 and the Cavaliers score 109. Fine. Last night, they scored 87 bleeping points. And you lost, you know, you lost by 8, but it was 12 when it was effectively over. You lose by double digits going away when they score 87 points. That's as much, if not more, about you than it is about LeBron, McCone.
Game two, LeBron James, 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. You won by 13 points. So, I mean, the supporting cast for LeBron was just so bad on this Cleveland team. I feel like he could have one of those epic games, and you still, if you showed up and played well, you were going to win that game. They just didn't show up last night.
No, the diabolical negative prick Mason Souza had it. How many times this year have they scored fewer than 79 points, Mason?
That'd be one time.
One time. One time. So this is what I've been saying all day. If they were just bad last night, they win the game. As opposed to wretched. If they were just below average, it's enough for them to probably win that game. But they couldn't even get to that level. Why, Hook? They gagged.
Okay.
It's okay. Great year. I don't think they gagged the series. Like, I mean, so it's depends where you draw the line. But once you get into that game last night and you're up 12, and Cleveland's not shooting well either, and you just can't put out an average performance on that setting, you tightened up, you gagged. And you watched it, too, the way they finished. But did they get panicky? They got real panicky. I don't know how you
could
watch that.
There's nothing that wasn't ugly about it.
What'd
last
your mom
night?
Say? What did she have on this?
My mother didn't
love
it. Would
you put her on the email chain the next time? I want to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, she didn't like the number of times that they were missing from town, long, as she said.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta. Magenta? Janta. Janta. Janta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Mads, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Korver makes the extra pass into the corner. Jeff Green challenged on the three, but he knocks it down. And the Cavs regain the lead. And Jeff Green has been that guy tonight. He has risen to the occasion and lived up to all that promise. 19-7 for Jeff Green. Starting for Kevin Love. Cavs up by 2. 5:30 to go in game 7.
It's amazing. Listen, at the end of the day, what he does on the basketball floor is extra credit. This guy had open heart surgery a few years ago, and the game was basically taken away from him. They said it's possible that you never played a game of basketball again. So the fact that he can put on a uniform every night and do the things that he do out on the floor, you know, I don't care if he make a shot, you know, or he make big plays like tonight. Like for him personally, this is, I mean, it's all like, you know, it's a cherry on top for him because he was, the game was taken away from him. So for him to be able to just, you know, do what he did last game after Kev's injury and then obviously start tonight, you know, it was big time.
I worked hard to get to this position. I mean, I can't put it into words, man. It's just hard work, dedication. I gave everything, man. Man, we fought, man. We fight, man. We're gonna fight to the end. That's what we did.
Jeff freaking Green. You lost to Jeff freaking Green.
Did LeBron James say that Jeff Green showed such promise?
Yep.
Is that what he said?
Or something like that.
Okay.
What's your point?
I don't know that Jeff Green showed a lot of promise. I mean, maybe Danny Ainge thought that X number of years ago when he traded him, but
I think Jeff
at this point, have we shown a lot of promise in Jeff Green?
I think Jeff Green blows. And even though he put up numbers in these last couple games and was quote-unquote good, I still don't think he can play. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but you know you're in trouble, and you know you choked, or you know you've overrated Al Horford. When in the final two games of the series, Jeff freaking Green vastly outperformed Al Horford. Final two games of the series, Jeff Green, 33 points, plus 17. Horford in the final two games of the series, 23 points, minus 16. And play, you know, they did some stuff against each other, but that's not purely a one-on-one matchup. I'm just saying, Jeff, the Cavs got more out of Jeff Green at the end of the series than you got out of Al Horford. Something not right with that, Hook. Yeah. I'm sorry, something's not right with that. And I do think you heard it there. I thought when you talk about the key plays of the game, key sequence of the game, I thought Jeff Green's three was maybe the biggest bucket of the game. Again, just to reset quickly, fourth quarter, Celts down four. There's a timeout, 6:55 left. So Celts down four, 6:55 left, and this is when Jason Tatum dunked on LeBron. A marquee moment, iconic moment for Tatum and the whole series, and big one that you'll be watching all offseason and will follow Tatum for the rest of his career.
Big chest bump right into LeBron's shoulder.
Yeah. Morris starts screaming at him. Tatum bumps him. Just
the look of disgust on LeBron's face. He kind of followed him after the bump, like, who are you, kid?
Tremendous. And then, after a turnover, Tatum comes down and hits a three.
A LeBron turnover, no less.
A LeBron turnover. So here's the sequence. 6:55 left. Celts down four. Tatum dunks on LeBron. LeBron turns it over. Tatum comes down, hits a three. Now you're plus one. Now the Celtics are up one with just over 6 minutes left.
And to set the stage, the crowd is now way into it because they had been out of it. Now it's electric. Now they are pumped and jacked.
The crowd was never out of it.
The old Pete Carroll thing.
They were just petrified. They were just tight. Like, everyone had gotten tight, could feel it coming. Uh-oh. And then Tatum does that, back-to-back possessions. Now you're up, the crowd's up, right? It's all going. And Jeff bleeping Green hits that corner three, puts the Cavs back up two, and they're off and running.
That's it. It's over.
To me, that was a key play of the game. What was yours, McCone? What was a key play of the game? Key sequence.
Late fourth quarter, Marcus Smart play, gets an offensive rebound on a missed free throw. He kicks it out. Marcus Morris jacks a quick three. They get the offensive rebound again. Terry Rozier jacks a quick three. You miss that. Cavs go down and score. And for me, that was a huge turning point. If you're Brad Stevens, call a timeout there. You've done it all season long. You're so good at out-of-timeout situations. Like, that was the time there where I thought he really needed to read that situation and say, let's settle down.
Did you see goodness out-of-timeouts last night, though? Like, that's one of the things I was looking for.
No.
Like, all right, well, we've got a Brad Stevens timeout, well, so something good.
The Tatum dunk. The Tatum dunk was out of a timeout.
But throughout the game, I didn't see a lot of that.
Oh, I think you're right.
They came out of the timeouts, and then they, you know, threw up threes that clanked off this, that, or the other thing.
I think you're right. I mean, you certainly did not see that magic from Stevens in this series, no question about it. And I think he's facing some fair second-guessing today based on some of that shot selection that was going on. He did nothing to slow it down or change just sort of the way that was being played. Again, the Celts went one for their last 12 from the floor, and Tatum only got one of those shots. So I think the coaching game management is in there somewhere. On the other side, I thought Ty Lue calling those back-to-back timeouts, kind of a nifty little move. I mean, at the time I looked at it, I said, oh, he's going to leave himself short. And he did. You know, like, when he did it, it was with 3:50 left in there. And I'm like, oh, he's gonna miss that second timeout. But I don't know. When LeBron James doesn't come off the floor, you want to give him an extra blow there? I mean, I don't know why he did it.
Well, because he was going to lose it. That, with that new rule in the NBA, if you don't use it before whatever, I forget what the time is. You know, so that's why he tacked that on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I don't, didn't mention that on the broadcast. I was at the game, so I don't know. But either way, so he did it just to, so he didn't lose it.
Yep.
Got it. All right, McCone. Never mind. Anyway, Stevens was not – we did not get the Stevens moment in this series, which I thought you would. I thought you would have stolen a game in this series based on Brad Stevens, and that did not happen. And if anything, Stevens might have it might have sped up on him like it sped up on everybody else. So did the Celts finish with two timeouts in their pocket? How many do they get, McCone? They get seven?
Yeah. Hold on.
So the Celts only called five. I mean, so I think they had a couple left on the board when the game ended. You have to tell me. Please tell me. Did they end the game with timeouts in their back pocket? Either way, could there have been more done there to just stop that launch party from the Celtics and from all the wrong guys continuing just to launch three-pointers?
I mean, who are the right guys, though?
Who are the right guys?
There's one.
In that game, Tatum.
Yeah, that's it. There's one guy because everyone else was missing them.
Probably so. Here's Joey in Boston. Your thoughts on last night, Joey?
Yeah, this is Joey from Boston. The Boston Celtics choked. I knew they weren't going to win the 11th game at the Garden. And the way they played was terrible.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for the call. 7th, 11th, he's sort of in the ballpark. Danny in the car. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, where to start? Felgi, thanks for coming in today. Choke pie, double serving for everybody except for Jason Tatum. I think that the guys who had the opportunity to play were the guys that were there. Forget about the guys that are injured. They played up to their ability. Terry, Jalen, they choked. Choke pie, choke pie, choke pie. Double serving, whipped cream on top. Good job, guys, last night. Absolutely awful.
I think they gagged. I think they got tight. Do they end up with timeouts in their back pocket, McCone? You can't find this out, can you? Good God. Why do we have you? You're supposed to know this crap. You young NBA hoop head. You're supposed to know how many timeouts.
Where's B-Rob?
Sousa, you hang out with Jones every night, but it shoves basketball up your keister every night. How many timeouts per team per game? Is it seven?
It's seven. Yeah. I'm trying to find out how many.
Oh, it is seven. No, yeah. Okay. Well, the Celtics called five.
Okay.
So they get seven. It's seven per side. So Stevens ends the game with two timeouts in his back pocket. Meanwhile, he's got guys who are 0 for 10 from the line or, you know, from behind the line, 1 for 10 from the floor, chucking threes, and he's doing nothing to stop it. That's a fair second guess, I think, on Brad Stevens not getting in there. How about Kyrie Irving not showing up at all because he's getting a nose job or something? Michael and Methuen, go ahead.
Yeah, do you care to know about a deviated septum? Because I can tell you I've had it done.
No, I don't.
Well, I guess you got me on the line. What happens is, it's first of all, he didn't have to have it. It's not a major surgery. It's something that could have waited until after the playoffs. But it's one of those things, if you have it done after the procedure,
can I tell you
it's not a good idea to go out afterwards.
Because, Mike, let me stop you. Here's what my sources are indicating, that he had to have the nose surgery now because he's going on a tour to promote a movie coming up. He's going to be promoting a movie.
Yeah, it's got to look good for that. You can't be having like a black and blue situation.
So I don't know if, did he get a nose job?
All right.
Because he's going Hollywood or did he break his nose somehow and they had to do it before the press junkets? Did he, what? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I frankly don't care. I think it's a bad look that he wasn't on the bench because he got his nose fixed before a movie thing. I don't care about your movie
and
thing.
And moreover, Danny Ainge said he didn't want to be seen that way. So it's not like he was
Danny
under
Ainge
the knife.
He didn't want to be seen that way.
Something like, I didn't hear the quote. I heard people in this studio share what the quote was. But basically, it's not that he was recovering. It's that he just didn't want to sit there with like bandages all over his face.
Kyrie Irving had a deviated septum, had some surgery on that. And so I don't think he wanted to be seen, said Ainge.
There you go. So, again, it's not about, like, he was sitting in a hospital bed recovering. It was that he didn't want to be hanging out on the sideline with a white bandage
God,
over his nose?
Jeez, that league. Who cares? Like, what?
Just borrow, you know, Embiid's face mask.
What's
thing.
The diff? Have a bandage on your nose. What's, who, you gotta be there for your teammates. And the whole thing to me is aggravating that he had to, so then it would be, all right, if you don't want to be seen on the bench with the schnozzle, fine, get it after the playoffs, or you can wait a couple weeks, right? No, he can't wait a couple weeks because he's got to promote the movie.
Yeah.
So now there's the movie interest in there as well. Like, these are things I would have very little time for. It would drive me nuts. That's why he's not on the bench there. And not a great look. I'd rather have looked at him there with the nose bandage. Hour to go. Your thoughts on Game 7 last night here on Felger and Maz. Half loaded.